It's time for Backyard Almanac. Larry Weber is an educator, author, and naturalist, and he joins us every Friday for Backyard Almanac. Larry, how you doing today?
I am doing just fine, and welcome to the wonderful month of May. The month of May has so many glamorous adjectives. I won't go into all of them, but I'll just say two of them. One of them is that it's an amazing month. And the other one is that it's just magical, the kind of stuff that happened. Before we get too into that, though, let's take a look back to April, because there's very interesting statistics. In the world of following weather and climatology, one thing we note is that the statistics that are said to be average are almost never actually happened. Well, guess what? The month of April broke that rule, and it was really an interesting result. The average temperature for the month was 39.0 degrees. The normal is 39.5. The amount of precipitation we had for the month was 2.65. The normal amount is 2.55. For snow, we had 9.3 inches of snow. The normal is 9.2. So, wow, that is amazing that all those were so close to being the average. We never really did get a hot day the whole month. The warmest temperature was 63, and on the other side of it is the coolest temperature was 14 degrees. April was also when we experienced ice out around my house here. It was the middle of the month, almost the same time as the last of our snow that was on the ground melted. Well, when we get into May, we tend to think that, you know, things like snow are all over, but it can still happen. Just look back to the year 2019 when this area received 13 inches of snow in that month. Yes, it can still happen. And the forecast says maybe we will get some snow mixed with the coming rain. However, for the most part, it's a warming month. It's a warming month with long days, and things really respond to it. And by the end, we start out the month with, I look around, I see all the trees are bare of leaves. By the end of the month, this will be a completely foliated area, and we'll be sitting in the shade. So, yes, things will happen as we get into this month. The average temperature for May, jumping from 39 degrees for April, it is 52 degrees for May, and more precipitation. We don't think of ourselves as living in a climate where there is a rainy season, but we are, and the rainy season begins in May, extends through the summer. Yes, so we're going to see some interesting things happening. We are right now at the waxing crescent phase of the moon. You may have noticed looking out last couple nights that the moon looks almost like a smiley face. That is the waxing crescent. The full moon doesn't happen until around the 12th. We are now approaching 14 and a half hours of daylight, and yes, it continues to get longer. Very good migration going on. This has been a really interesting spring to watch migration. March, it was the raptors for the most part, and the bald eagles were by far the most common of the raptors, though there were several others that were seen. And we get into April, there still is plenty of raptor migration. Bald eagles are not the number one now. Number one is turkey vultures, red-tailed hawks, but no, this week it was the broadwing hawks, and there were days of several thousand of the broadwings coming across. I see broadwing hawks now every day. Broadwing hawks don't winter the same place where many of the other raptors do. Broadwing hawks go all the way down to Central America, and so when they start coming through, they start coming back a little bit later than the other ones. But they come back in pretty big numbers. They'll fly in big flocks. April is also a good time to see the waterbird migration. Several, or almost a dozen kinds of ducks, Canada geese, two kinds of swans, the trumpeter and the tundra, double-crested cormorant, common mergansers, things like shorebirds and wading birds like late blue heron, and sandhill crane, and then, of course, there were the pelicans. If you haven't gotten down to see the pelicans in the St. Louis River near Chambers Grove, near the Fond du Lac Bridge, I recommend doing so. I was there a couple days ago, and I estimated the two two groupings of them. Each one had at least 100. And these are huge birds, too. They're fascinating to see. They will not stay there for the whole summer. They're pretty much resting and feeding now and getting ready to move on to their nesting sites. May is the time when we see most of the migration. Now, most of the migration is going to be in songbirds. We'll see other ones as well, but it's the songbirds, especially warblers. We are in a part of the country where we can see two dozen kinds of warblers if you do some searching. They are not usually easy to see. They're small. I recommend using a pair of binoculars. I also recommend some patience because they're little. You can locate them with your eyes without using the binoculars, but once you get the binoculars on, you'll find they will do a lot of moving. But nevertheless, it's worth seeing them. They are terrific, and they're coming through. I have seen three kinds of warblers so far. Like many in the Northland, I try to see all of them when they come migrating through. Vireos, wrens, thrushes, swallows, orioles, grosbeak, hummingbirds, all of these will be coming back in May in the next couple of weeks. It is a very critical time. The timing for May, we don't realize it, but it is a time of very critical timing. Things have to be just right. The best place to see this probably is the woodland wildflowers. The woodland wildflowers that grow on the ground underneath the trees in deciduous forests have to come up, grow up, have their leaves, have their flower, and be pollinated all before the trees up above get leaves, because the trees up above will shade them, and most of these spring wildflowers cannot survive in the shade. So it's a critical timing for them. Well, meanwhile, up in the tops of the trees, when the leaves unfold, there are caterpillars that were in the eggs up there that will hatch and start immediately feeding on the nice soft leaves. If nothing stops them, they could probably turn the whole forest bare. Well, the rest of the critical timing is the migrating birds. These birds that I just rattled off the list of, almost all of them feed on insects, and that includes the caterpillars. And so it's a time of critical timing, and usually if the timing is right, everything is fine, and by the end of the month we have nice lush forests and the caterpillars have been brought under control. If, however, spring is early or spring is late, all that can be changed, but I don't think we're not definitely going to have an early spring. We are getting pretty much normal, maybe even a little later than normal. Among the mammals, I've been watching beavers lately that survived the winter, and it looks like the group is kind of breaking up for where to go after that. Deer are very common out in the fields where the grass has gotten green. It's hard to see a field that doesn't have beavers, doesn't have deer in it. And then the other evening, I saw the first bat of the season. Our bats that live around here, and we have maybe, seven species, perhaps an eighth species. Some of them migrate, but some of them also spend the winter here. And it's the ones that spend the winter here that start to wake up when they're warm enough. And that's what it was like the other evening when I saw one flying around. Frogs have been calling. I've been talking about earlier the early trio of wood frogs, chorus frogs, and spring peepers. Well, I heard a fourth one to add to that list. They come a quartet now. The fourth one is the northern leopard frog, which makes a noise that sounds kind of like snoring. I heard that this week. In addition to that, I've been seeing the turtles. The turtles take advantage of these clear days, and they climb up out of the chilly water and sit on whatever log or whatever they can to warm their body to bask. That happens probably May is the month that we'll see the most basking. As we get further into the summer, the water's a little bit warmer, and they can stay in the water. Snakes have been emerging, though I myself have not been seeing them. I have butterflies. I saw another kind of butterfly again yesterday. The butterflies that we see up until this point are the ones that hibernated as adults. Once we get into the first week of May, yes, we are getting there, there are going to be some butterflies that show up that spent the winter in their cocoon or chrysalis stage. And yes, there are two of them that you may note right in your yard. One of them is a completely white butterfly called veined white. And then there is another little one that has bluish wings, blue on the top, white on the bottom. It's called the spring azure. And these always show up early in the month of May. Dragonflies, I've seen a couple of the green darner dragonflies, the migratory dragonflies. Starting in May, we'll start to see the dragonflies that wintered with us underwater as the immatures, and then they come up in maturity and start flying around. Bumblebees have been noted a few places. They wake up. Queen is a survivor of the colony from last year. She hibernates, and then she flies around, trying to find a place to start the new colony. We haven't had much yet from a couple of wonderful insects that will meet us later in the season, namely mosquitoes and black flies. We haven't had that much yet. Usually, however, it's somewhere toward the middle of the month that they start to show up. I had a great sighting this week of the first orb web of the season, the spider orb web. Orb webs are the circular ones that we tend to associate more with late summer. And I was out walking one evening, and I looked at the threads along the side of the road, and I took a closer look at that. That is a web. Yes, this particular one had made a web already in late April. The trees have really been putting on a show. I think you don't have to be a naturalist or anything like that to notice that they just are really showing, especially with the red maples. The silver maples bloomed earlier, and now it's the red maples. Either a male tree or a female tree. Where I'm sitting right now, I can see both of them. The male trees tend to be a little bit more yellowish green because what shows up is the pollen on the anthers. And then with the female trees, they tend to be more red, and they live up to the name of red maple. Catkins are still out there, though many of them have been falling in the wind. The aspen, willow, alder, and hazel still have their catkins, and birch catkins are starting to grow along. In front of my house, I have a forsythia tree that has started to bloom. Quite big, beautiful yellow flowers. And then the elderberry. Elderberry is a small tree that most of the time we don't even know it's present. But when it comes to this time of year, elderberry is the very first tree to open up its leaves. And where I sit right now, I can see one that is mostly opening the leaves. The buds are large, and the leaf that comes out is a compound leaf, and it's really noticeable. Wildflowers, I've been walking out at Jay Cook, and I found three kinds of wildflowers so far in bloom in the new season. Hepatica, Spring Beauty, and Marsh Marigold. I expect that with the warmer temperatures and sunlight that we're going to be getting in the next few days, there'll be more. I highly recommend getting out and walking at Jay Cook State Park. It's a wonderful place to see wildflowers. It's also a wonderful place to see fiddleheads of ferns, and I saw the first fiddlehead of the season this week. Fiddleheads are called that because when they stick up from the ground, they unroll looking like the scroll of a fiddle or a violin. What is going on is that they stayed alive all winter underground, and this new growth comes off the rhizome, which is underground, and it unfolds to become the leaf. And in the world of ferns, leaves are called fronds. So, yes, there's plenty to see out there. I suggest getting out to see the amazing May before the mosquitoes and black flies will greet you. So take care. Have a good one.
Thanks, Larry. Larry Weber is an educator, author, and naturalist, and he joins us every Friday for Backyard Almanac.